are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, May the 7th. And talking about best memories of games that we went to in Pistons lore. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It is my morning routine now, and I'm going to tell you about that a little bit later. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. But today on the show, we're going to talk about really kind of an incredible Pistons Twitter moment from this week. And then later on, we're going to be joined by Doc Joe Brown. He did double duty with us today and tomorrow's show. But today we're calling in his services to talk about the best games that he's ever been at, the best games I've ever been at. We had kind of a breakdown of some fun Pistons memories at the Palace of Auburn Hills and the Silverdome and also LCA as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the most influential Pistons bracket of all time, that will be tomorrow's show. Doc Joe Brown's going to join us for that as well. We are down to the final four, so we're going to have to cut it down to the final two. Joe Dumars versus Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace against Isaiah Thomas. Tough calls, to say the least. The favorites of the old guys. Let's see if Joe and I can come up with compelling enough arguments to flip that and see if Chauncey and Ben can pull a couple of minor upsets, maybe even something like major upsets, get to the finals. We'll see if we can cook up some of that. But the last dance is still going on. I got some Isaiah Thomas thoughts. We talked about that with Joe Brown a little bit for tomorrow's show. Isaiah's kind of having a moment. The haters are out in full force, and the defenders are out as well. I have some thoughts, but we also got two guests lined up next week that I'm excited to share with you guys. Haven't recorded either of them yet, but one that you've definitely heard of if you're a Pistons fan, and one that you probably haven't, probably almost definitely haven't, but excited for those shows to be taped as well, too. But Pistons Twitter, let's talk about that. The Detroit Bad Boys bracket, we talked about with Sean Corp when they put out the bracket. I was eliminated in round two, I believe. But most notably, the semifinals were this week. People just vote on their favorite Pistons Twitter member. And Nick Henkel, favorite of ours, we've had him on this show as well, was going up against Duncan Smith, a guy we've had on multiple times, friend of mine, both these guys. But they were in the semifinals against each other, and Nick pulled out the big guns at first with Luke Kennard. Kind of said that he'd play video games with some fans, including Nick, if Nick won this contest. Then Duncan comes out with Tobias Harris. I don't know if he's like friends with Tobias or how that all came about, but linked up with him, got the endorsement from Tobias and also from Boban. But then with about an hour left in the voting, Blake Griffin off the top rope says he'd throw up a signed jersey to the Pistons Nation if Nick gets the win. And he did, indeed. I think there was over like 5,000 votes, and Nick got the win. Good for Detroit Bad Boys. They didn't have this voting contest over the weekend, so maybe they learned my lesson from my complaining and sour grapes that I had there. The other semifinal, they had to do some maneuvering as Andre Stans got kicked out after winning that one. I'm a fan of Andre Stans, by the way, for the record. It's that ridiculous kind of humor that kind of speaks to me a little bit. Maybe my dark side. I don't know. But the young guys, I think, have officially taken over that tournament as Nick and I know Rod's in the finals, but, you know, Andre Stans made his mark. Let's put it that way. I know that I've always been kind of an elder old guy of what is this Pistons online group or whatever. Even not that I've been around longer than some of the other guys, but this that I'm just an old soul, plus I'm old, period, compared to a lot of these guys. But I feel like this is maybe the moment where some of the mid-range, younger-than-me guys are realizing that they are also now part of the old guy faction in this group, too. Whatever is going on with the younger set out there, these guys are making their name. Andre Stans, I think that's like a bunch of younger dudes that are all about that life. Zarzar, he's a younger dude. I think he's the one who beat me in the second round. I'm not even really quite sure what he does in terms of content. I know he made a couple of cool videos for the bracket. I don't know other content wise. Maybe he's doing the TikToks or something. I don't know. I'm a dinosaur. But welcome to some of the other dinosaurs out there in Pistons Twitter that might be in my crew now. We're the old heads in the whole group. But kudos again to Nick and Duncan for putting on a show in the semifinals. Kudos to Andre Stanz and also to Rod Beard, who I believe takes over Andre Stanz's spot in the finals. So Rod versus Nick, if I'm not mistaken. I think Rod might be in some trouble. Nick's a powerhouse, the people's champion, the favorite coming in, as I mentioned with Sean. We'll try to get Nick on, or Rod, if he pulls the upset. Whoever wins that after that goes down, we'll celebrate. We'll maybe pour some Coors heavy on, or C-. I'm not sure which Nick is more into, and maybe pour some beer on him if he wins the championship as well. But kudos to the Detroit Bad Boys guys for putting on the Pistons Twitter contest like they did last year. Fun times. No good deed goes unpunished. So you got to listen to me complaining about it a little bit. You got to listen to the Andre Stanz haters complain about it. So, yeah, like I said, no good deed goes unpunished. But congratulations to everyone involved, and we'll talk more about it whenever that bad boy wraps up later. But a little bit up next, we're going to talk to Doc Joe Brown. We got the best memories of games that we went to as fans. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But, hey, I've got a regular 9-to-5 type of job now, which means I have to wake up early every morning. And I tell you what, I try not to eat anything late at night, so I'm very hungry by the time I get up. And one of the things that gets me out of bed, and it's not easy to get me out of bed, is knowing that one of the first things I'm going to do is grab that Built Bar. They gave me a sample of Built Bars. I got a box of 10. I've been eating these things. I've had the double chocolate mousse was the first one I've had. I've had all sorts of different great flavors. The raspberry cream one. They're great. I'm excited for tomorrow morning already, and I'm never excited about the morning because I've got the salted caramel chocolate one lined up. These Built Bars are great, and I would encourage you guys to support them and support myself and support the Locked On Podcast Network by getting involved and getting yourself some of these. These Built Bars, they're tasty. Protein bars that taste like a candy bar, 16 amazing flavored bars that are covered in 100% chocolate as well. Soft and easy to chew, not chalky like those other bars out there. Built Bar, great for the health conscious guy. 20 grams of protein in the peanut butter brownie ones, but still great taste. 170 calories in those. Low sugar as well. You know you got to keep the low sugar counts, low carb counts. Every diet these days that I know of talks about little to no sugar, little to no carbs, and these will take care of that for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber will still get you filled up so you're not hungry all day. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. I'm going to do it after I run out of my free samples. I guarantee that. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Support us. Support those who support us as well.
Yes, sir!
All right, now we're being joined by Doc Joe Brown, our favorite. Tell us about the podcast, Joe. And first of all, thanks for joining us, too.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt. I feel like I'm at home on the
you are Locked home On here.
I know, on
the Zoom call for Locked On Pistons. You are.
Yeah, yeah. And then we always have so much conversation before. I forget we're not recording. But,
right.
Hey, the handle is at Pro Pistons. And the show is Pro Wrestling Talk for the Pistons fan. Last 7 days of the month, we always got our Ask the Doc series, which is only 5 minutes long. And I just get on there and I shoot about anything basketball and pro wrestling related as it relates to current times. We've gotten really good feedback on that. And then we have our OG Talk series, which is started last month with Piston Fan and Indy. And this month, we already did the interview and I'm just going through editing now. We actually have Air Georgia, who used to play for the University of Michigan back in the early 2000s, Brent Petway. We had a great conversation about basketball and wrestling. He has some unbelievable stories to share about when he was at U of M. So I want everybody to tune in for that one. Thanks for allowing me to plug that.
Yeah, high flyer Petway. I remember him from
It's funny. The first ball player I have on went to my rival school, but he's a good guy.
Right. You had him on anyway. But so I had Doc on, and we're going to listen to tomorrow's podcast because we're going to do the final four and break down the final four into two. But first today, the directive from the Locked On Network was talk about more of the greatest moments in Pistons history. We've already done plenty of that. So I decided to pull on the personal heartstrings of myself and Doc Joe Brown and maybe some of the games that we remember going to. These probably aren't going to be maybe some of the greatest moments in Pistons history or Palace history or even the short version of LCA history. For whatever reason, maybe just personal memories that we have about some games. And I put Doc on the task of coming up with some of his, and he's got more than enough to share with us. So start us off, Doc.
Hey, so yeah, prior to us talking, I just want to do a couple fast ones that just mean a lot to me. And I don't want to sleep on the couch tonight, so I got to mention November 29, 2013, mm-hmm. the Pistons lose to the Lakers, the Kobe-less Lakers. Mm-hmm. It was Central Michigan University night, and it was a date for my wife and I because TLC performed at halftime, and she really wanted to go. So we mm-hmm. went to the game. We enjoyed the club level at the Palace, so that was an awesome one. Also, I want to mention Phoenix. They beat the Detroit Pistons on February 12, 2002. That was pretty awesome because my brother and my dad bought my entire basketball team ticket. So we like had the entire row to ourselves. So I came back on Monday, and I was the cool kid at school. Also, I never want to forget February 6, 2002. I love that Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson squad. Mm-hmm. That was my first time I ever actually drove to the game by myself. I just got my driver's license, and the Pistons scored. They won, and they scored 100 points. And I stopped at Taco Bell on the way back and got my free taco. I mean, those are just all good times, man. And then I can't go without mentioning my first memorable game was November 15th, 1995. My mom said I couldn't go to the game to see my favorite player, Sean Kemp. Of course, she was hosing me all day. My dad comes home, and I'm doing my homework. He's like, what you doing? We got to go to the game. And I was like, what?
So Rain Man.
Went to the game. Sean Kemp dunked all over the Pistons that night. I was really amped. They were wearing the new jerseys with the actual tower on them. So mm-hmm. I loved that Seattle team that year.
That was a nice look, yeah.
Yeah, I was in sixth grade. So, yeah, those are just my lightning round ones. And I'll give you the floor, and then I'll go to my next big three.
I got a couple of thoughts for you. First off, I did like the tower uniforms with the Sonics, but I preferred the ones before those, though, the more classic look that just said Sonics across.
Yeah.
I thought those were nice.
And actually, you know what? I wore that old school one to the game because mm-hmm. when my dad said it, and I grabbed, and you know how you're a kid and you're just grabbing everything, and sure. I wore it over like a polo shirt, like mm-hmm. like I didn't have time to like grab a t-shirt. I like that one. And up until a couple years ago, I actually still had the Hoop magazine. Remember the program uh-huh. used to be Hoop?
Yeah,
magazine.
Yep.
And Sean Kemp was actually on the cover, and I hung over the wall that night trying to get him to sign it, but he did not. You're talking about Detlef Schrempf, mm-hmm. the glove, Gary Payton. Yeah.
Sam Perkins, too.
Nate McMillan, Sleepy Floyd, Sam Perkins, mm-hmm. and Irvin Johnson.
Irvin Johnson, part two.
Yep. I remember that game like it was yesterday, man, because I just knew I wasn't going. My dad comes home like, what are you doing? I'm like, come on, man. Yo, the guy's lying to me the whole time.
One of these days, they'll bring back the Sonics. I have faith that it will happen someday, but we'll get the Sonics back in Seattle. But the most important question I have from you from that layout is, what songs did TLC sing?
Oh, man, you know, halftime is only 20 minutes. They
right,
get
you
like
collabo
the hook of Herfaws and what else did they do? No Scrubs, which I uh-huh. personally say is my theme song because, you know, like, hey, who wants – I do want to ride in the passenger side of my best friend's ride. That's carpooling. That's saving the earth. That's what I always told my wife.
Gas mileage. Yeah. Good. Yeah,
I'm sure. Like, hey, we're thinking – So, yeah, it was actually – that's her favorite part of the night. She probably doesn't even remember who they were playing.
Sure.
But it was a really good time, man. And anytime we can please each other in that way, find some crossover entertainment, I love doing that.
Absolutely. And so my first one is a game that I don't remember going to, but we talked about it with my brothers last week, is the Dr. J, Julius Erving's last game at the Silverdome, which my brother looked up and correctly saw. The Dr. J, the last time he played at the Silverdome was February 14th, 1987. So it's Valentine's Day. Again, I am 4 years old. I do not remember this at all. But apparently I was dragged to this game as a little kid. So Dr. J plays, scores 15 points in 35 minutes. However, and the, by the way, my brother Scott was correct. At that time, the record was set for biggest attendance at a game, 52,745. That's a lot of people for a basketball game, obviously.
That's better than a lot of All-Star games.
Yeah, a lot of free tickets at the Silverdome that night. But what was interesting to me as I kind of look back and look for the box score is that the 76ers actually came back to the Silverdome a month later, March 14th, 1987. But for some reason, Dr. J was injured and didn't play in that game. So now I'm curious to know if we were actually at that February 14th game or March 14th game when he didn't play and he was still on the team. Cliffy Robb, a rookie on that team, Cliff Robinson.
That's funny because I have a similar story when I get to one of my games about me not remembering something. So, yeah, that is good. And when I was doing my research for this show, it took me a while to settle on which Seattle game that was. But what triggered it for me, Matt, was I knew it was a school night in the 94 when they had come. It was on a weekend. So I clearly remember it. So, yeah, I got another story like that as well, similar to yours, that goes back a little bit.
So, yeah, so, I mean, but the now I just looked up the guy's name was Cliff Robinson that came off the bench for Philly, and I looked him up, and apparently it was the other Cliff Robinson. There were two Robinsons in the 80s, and this was the second one. So, yeah, it was not the Cliffy Robb that became Uncle Cliffy for the Pistons later. But
who we traded to,
I guess,
right back.
Right, yeah, not Uncle Cliffy, maybe second cousin Cliffy, I guess. This would be the other one here. So that's my first memorable moment that I don't remember from Pistons time.
So my next one, October 18, 2017, Pistons beat the Hornets 102-90, the opening night at Little Caesars Arena.
All right.
I was a young man living downtown. I think I drank a beer walking all the way to the game. The weather was nice that day, and probably drank a beer all the way back. So those got a full circle. What I told you, February 6, 2002, I drove to my first game, and it felt like it took forever. And then we fast forward about 15 years and I'm actually walking to the game. And surprisingly enough, as of this recording, that's the last time the Pistons have beat the Hornets.
Unbelievable.
But you never want to open an arena and lose a game. Like, I felt bad for the Golden State Warriors, and I'm not a Golden State Warriors fan, because as good as a decade as they had, they wind up losing their last game at like one of the most storied arenas in basketball. And you just never want to do that. So it's like, man, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. But really proud of that victory. And they sent the season ticket holders a nice plaque about a week after everything framed and all of that. So that was just awesome that they could open up the new arena, even though I'm not a fan of it. But let's open it up with a W as we look back 20 years from now. And they'll be showing clips, and it's like, hey, the first one.
And a great memory. And then the Warriors lost their last game at Oracle, and then they lost every game this year with their new arena, which was a bad way to open it up there, including to the Detroit Pistons and Sekou Doumbouya.
So. Yeah, who did they piss off?
Yeah, that was a tough season. And, of course, now they're lucky because the season may not exist for the end of it. So a good year to pick for your year off, I guess. But my other question for you, Doc, Palace, you talked about driving to the game, obviously up 75. Were you one of the guys that snuck into the front of the line when driving up on the off-ramp there, or did you stay in line with the rest of us peasants?
So I'm going to exit, what is it, 181, where you drive past the popular – I didn't get off at Lapeer. I would get off at that Great Lakes Crossing exit and then kind of drive in backwards, I guess.
Okay, that's probably the smartest.
I learned that trick, and I was like, oh, that's what I'm doing for the rest of life.
Yeah, I think whenever I drove, I would sit in the line there, but I had some buddies that would cut into the exit ramp at the last minute. But
Those guys pissed me off. I just started going the back way, and now I'm really sounding like an old head. I used to go grab a drink at GameWorks Cafe over there at Great Lakes Crossing, come back, or maybe Fridays or something like that. So yeah, you had the right one on for this show, man. You're bringing back some memories.
Yeah, and then the I went to GameWorks one time when they had Stoney and Wojo's radiothon there. I was interning for WDFN and worked, you know, 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the night there. And that was a good memory going to GameWorks for that. And also my brother's bachelor party. We had like a kind of an impromptu bachelor party there because we were going on a cruise for his wedding. So we kind of just threw together another one with some other friends before the actual cruise, which obviously is kind of a bachelor party in and of itself too.
GameWorks had the most awesome arcade game of all time. Remember you got in it like a ride?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of went up and down. It was like four levels of screens. Man,
uh-huh. I do remember that.
Yeah, when they went out of business, I was like, who has that? Somebody has that at their house right now. What did they do with that? Did it go out in a liquidation sale?
Yeah, did the GameWorks liquidation scale, just like the Palace. But yeah, I got another one here. How about February 15th, 1996? And I'm not sure that this is the exact game, but I do remember going to the Palace for one of Michael Jordan's games during the 95-96 Chicago season, the 72-win team.
Okay.
It wasn't – I looked it up. There was a game that he dropped 53, 21 of 28, but it was not that game. I don't remember it being – and I actually remember, you know, this isn't a very memorable Pistons era. It's the Grant Hill era. But I do remember that the Pistons kind of hung around and didn't beat them, but they, like, were up, you know, a decent amount there at, like, at halftime, and that the Bulls kind of came back and took over. And actually – if I'm remembering the right game, this actually went into overtime.
Okay.
And they went to OT. Jordan scores.
I remember that. I remember watching that game. So I know what you're talking about. It does get blurred because they were like a rock band at that time.
Yeah. And that was actually the only time that I saw Michael Jordan play live, which, you know, makes sense because it wasn't like we were going, or I wasn't going to games all the time back then. And I wasn't in the media at the time that Jordan was playing as well.
Yeah, that was a fun season. The pinstripe uniforms. Remember the games came on Pass, not Fox.
Oh, Coast, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I love those black pinstripe uniforms, too.
Like, oh, yeah. So, actually, that was perfect, man. The only time that I recall seeing Michael Jordan live is March 14, 2003. Mm-hmm. Pistons beat the Wizards, and that was Jordan's last game. And I drove from Michigan State University from our dorm room to the game. And on the way there, I stopped about four times putting antifreeze in my car.
One of those nice Michigan days, right?
Hey, man, it was a hoopty. It was a hoopty. It was a 95 Chevy Corsica. And me and a buddy went. And this is like, you know, 2003 is still high-speed internet was not in everyone's home yet. Mm-hmm. And I just literally Googled Wizards at Pistons tickets. And that's what I Googled. Mm-hmm. And we found some for like 30, 40 bucks. And I printed them off in my dorm room, which was unheard of at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were so nervous when we got up to the door.
Yeah, you don't know if those are going to work.
Well, I was like, how does this work? I've never printed a, you know, we just knew we were going to get kicked out. But we got there. I had to look up this game, too. And the only reason I know it was this game, because the Wizards came twice that year, is because Ben Wallace shot a three at the end. The crowd was egging him on to shoot a three. And if you look at the box score, he was 0-for-1. And I was like, okay, that was it.
The fall.
Yep, and got a chance to cheer for Jerry Stackhouse at the entrances. He got a nice ovation. Mm-hmm. And it was just glad because my dad took me to a lot of games. You know this, Matt. And I believe I saw Jordan live with the Bulls, but I don't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was – I definitely remember it. I definitely remember stopping at Meijer to get more antifreeze because the car kept overheating. And so, man, just really, really good times. And, of course, that was the next year we won the championship. So the team was really good to watch at that time.
Mm-hmm. And so that would have been Stackhouse's first year with Washington after the trade, maybe even his first game back, but maybe they played twice in Detroit. Who knows? But
something like that. Yep. Yeah. Cause my buddy actually had on his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. So yeah. And the funny thing is we were sitting far back, man. The Palace was packed. It was packed at that time. Really good team. We were going through the beginning of that sold out streak.
I got one kind of along those lines of, you know, legends that you remember playing, and this might be, again, this is kind of a strange thought and hard to believe given that, you know, by this time I'm kind of working in media a little bit, not covering the Pistons or NBA that much back then, just in Port Huron, but Kobe Bryant, I think maybe the one time that I saw him play live, which again, maybe I'm wrong about that, but it might be right. I never went to any of the finals games in 04. But this is December 20th of 2009. This is a Sunday evening. And this is, you know, Pistons kind of the deterioration of the team as the downward spiral kind of starts. They win their last playoff game in 2008. So I guess in 09, 2010, they wouldn't have even made the playoffs this year. This is the first year that they didn't make the playoffs. So 08, 09 would have been the sweep against the Cavs in the first round, 1-8. And then this would be the year that they didn't go to the playoffs. So this is a good Lakers team that ended up winning the NBA Finals in 7 games over the Boston Celtics. And, Kobe Bryant. I went to Lions versus Arizona Cardinals at Ford Field with my buddy Mike Rickstad. We went to that game on a Sunday afternoon and then drove straight from Ford Field to the Palace to this game. So did the doubleheader. My girlfriend had bought me the Lions tickets, and then like a couple weeks before the game, maybe it was even kind of a Christmas present or something. But then she broke up with me before the game, maybe to avoid going to see the Lions and the Cardinals.
Oh man, that was hilarious.
That was probably the reason. And then I ended up taking Mike to the game, and we had more fun anyway because then we went and saw Kobe. And again, you know, pretty nondescript game as far as the Pistons and as far as, you know, Kobe even. Back then, he dropped, I think, 28. I'm looking up the box score here, and played, you know, decently. And it was just kind of a workmanlike effort where the Pistons were outmanned big time by a much better team. Yeah, 28 for Kobe. Meta World Peace with 14. Bynum with 16. Powell with 13. But, yeah, Stuckey and Jonas Jerebko lead the Pistons in scoring with 16 and 15. Austin Day with 10. Those are the only man, that got sad real quick from 08 to 2009, 2010. You're starting Jerebko, Stuckey, Chucky Atkins, and Jason Maxiell to go along with Ben Wallace. So Rip Hamilton's out with an injury. Not good, but good to see Kobe, obviously one of my favorite players of all time. I took a lot of grief from friends because I was one of the only Kobe fans in my group, but it was good to see him. And one of those nights where, of course, probably more Lakers fans than Pistons fans at the Palace, if we're being honest.
Oh yeah, for sure. And Kobe and LeBron just have a cult-like following like that. When you mentioned it, I was being quiet because I pulled the double one time too. It was Allen Iverson's first game with the Pistons. I went to Lions and then hopped on the freeway and drove at a reasonable rate so we wouldn't get pulled over by the cops, and went and saw Allen Iverson debut with the Pistons. Mm-hmm. That was 2008. Was that 2008?
That would have been because that was 2008, his 1 year, right?
Yeah. So when you said that, I'm like, oh man, every sport. Well, you won't have the ability to do it now, but everybody has to do that at least once.
Yeah. Well, now you can just walk across the street. So
it's yeah. Now it's much safer. Much safer.
Uh-huh. You got one more. You got one more for us here. A couple more.
I got. I have two more. So. Okay.
I've got one, so you go first.
All right, so I got Kobe Bryant's last game in Detroit, December 6, 2015. And I would have said this regardless if, you know, his untimely passing, unfortunately. But I saw Kobe multiple times, and, you know, I hated that people – it was always more Kobe fans, not even Laker fans at the arena than Pistons fans. That always bothered me. But I remember this. My wife and I, we left really, really late for the game. We were living downtown, and basically we snuck into the game. We had tickets, but if anybody remembers that night, that was, I think the Palace sold out that night. Maybe one of the last times they sold out. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Matt, I was jumping curves because if you're not there for the introduction, you know.
Yeah, Mason.
What are you there for? I mean, I did everything you could possibly do illegal. And finally, we saw this back door open because the security line was so long. And we were like, just the hell with it. Let's try it. My wife, she's a daredevil. She went through the door with me. We got in. It felt like we came through like a B-dubs or a Kitchener or something. And we just went right to our seats. And we made it just in time to hear Mason give Kobe the official treatment that he deserved. And the reason I put this above the Jordan game is because Kobe was very sick that night, if anybody remembers. He had the flu. And probably if he was just going against another Western Conference foe where he visits a couple times a year, he probably would not have played. But him being the professional that he was, came out, he looked really dehydrated and, you know, still did something for the fans. So I really appreciated that. And it was just a great time, a great memory.
Yeah. And kind of along those lines, I've got a three-parter here just because I have a couple honorable mentions for my number one choice of – well, maybe not. This isn't my number one choice, but this is the most recent choice. So I've got three LCA ones. One of them was the first game for the Pistons since Kobe passed away, and that was the Cleveland Cavaliers were in town for a Monday night the day after Kobe's accident. And yeah, there was just kind of a surreal night. It kind of turned into basketball after about a few minutes, you know, halfway through the first quarter or so. But then they do Mason's tribute at the beginning of the game, and just where they did the 24-second and the 8-second violations to start the game. Yeah. Was kind of a surreal one to be at. And then I was also at both of the playoff games last year when the Pistons were swept by the Bucks, but two great atmospheres at LCA for that one. But the one that I'll kind of remember most at LCA for any Pistons game that I've been at the new arena is October 23rd, 2018. This is game three of the season. Pistons versus 76ers.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one. Goosebumps.
Didn't know it at the time because you thought this was kind of the beginning of like what would be a, you know, a very good season. It turned out to be an okay season. But Blake Griffin, 50 points, drops 50 on Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. Drummond gets tossed out of the game, 14 and 16, but the phantom elbow and Joel Embiid obviously embellishes the whole thing. I think that was the second technical on Drummond, so he gets tossed out. Pistons go to overtime in this one, and Blake gets the and one, takes it to the hoop, and scores the free throw to win the game and drop 50 points as well. Just an unbelievable performance because we were going into that season, and it was like, okay, he had the healthy offseason, but you didn't really know what to expect out of him because after the trade, he just didn't look so good after the Pistons first acquired him. But, man, he was on point in this one and was just a force, and they were 3-0. They'd go to 4-0 by beating the Cavs after this one. I was writing this gamer for AP, so it was unbelievable to have to keep changing the story time and time again after overtime and all the things that happened in that game. 21 for Ish off the bench as well. But Blake with 50, an unbelievable memory, and one of only a few really good memories for Pistons fans at LCA.
Oh, my gosh, man. And I remember that night, in the words of Excalibur, J.J. Redick was tougher than a 50-cent steak, man. He would not he would not die that night.
30 Blake, off the bench.
30 off the bench and unbelievable shots. He was hitting from all over the place. I mean, the Larry Bird in him was just running deep in his veins that night. But when – Blake got that and one and smacked the backboard, man. It's just one of those moments you wish you could put in a Ziploc bag and open when you're having a bad day.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Definitely his best memory as a Piston. So my final one has to be April 22nd, 2016. Cavs beat the Pistons. Last playoff game ever played at the Palace, and this place was rocking. I went with, you know, who better? You always say you have best friends, but who better than your brother? We went to the game, and it was just electric, man. I just can't explain it, how much hope for that team it was. KCP, Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, and they played really tough. I mean, it was a good loss. I don't know how else to say it. I'm not a fan of saying it was a good loss, but the play that, you know, I mentioned to you prior to this via text messages, just look up KCP dunking on LeBron. And again, it's just one of those moments you could, if me and my brother were just pulling on each other, like, oh my gosh, man, if we would have won that game, because the game four was very tight too, man, I think things could be different now as we're even having this conversation. You know, I know it sounds silly.
No, yeah.
Just one game, but things could be really, really different. The team played really hard. I mean, all of them, 1 through 12, anybody that you name that was on the team, they played their hearts out, really. Stanley Johnson played well. So that was just my most exciting game that I could think of in recent time. I was also there for the Blake Effect night, the first night that they ever played. The game that you were at, I was not there because I was behind on grading my papers. And I really wonder who sat in my seats that night.
Well, and like more about that 16 team, because I, you know, I'm in the Virgin Islands at this time. I've watched, I watched the game three on TV, but I don't think I saw game four because I might have been like getting ready to fly back to. I was doing a trip home at this time, and I remember being in the airport and picking up, I think, the Detroit News for my flight and reading Wojo's column about this team and thinking, yeah, you know, this team's a couple moves away. Get the bench going, and you add to that core of six guys that we were all kind of pretty excited about at that time. And like you said, really playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, who went on to win the NBA title that year, swept Atlanta in the second round Took care of Toronto in a typical, you know, six-game sweep in some regards. It wasn't really that close of a series. And then take out Golden State in seven games after being down 3-1. And Alvin, of course, remembers what happens in that final. But the Pistons played, you know, them just as tight as almost anyone until Golden
State.
All four
games, man. All four games. And, hey, Reggie got fouled at the end. I'm a fan till I die. This game should be in overtime.
Thanks again to Doc Joe Brown for joining us today. He'll be back tomorrow as we go through the most influential Pistons of all time bracket. Remember once again to check out Built Bar, B-U-I-L-T Bar. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Big time sponsor for us, so give them some big time love. Try it. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. This is your host, Matt Shook, and that will do it for today's episode of Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and tell your device to play the most recent episode of Chad Ford's NBA Big Board. Talk to you guys tomorrow.